It's a joy again to be with you all. Just a couple scripture readings I want to do before I give this presentation. One from Romans 10. So if you would turn with me to Romans 10, and we will read there. Romans 10, we'll begin our reading at verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. Let us hear the word of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And one other passage in Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 20 and 21. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. We trust God will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy and errant and infallible word. Let us unite our hearts together in a brief word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful again for this opportunity to be in thy house. God, what a joy it is that we could be here from 10 o'clock this morning all the way to this afternoon together as thy people. And God, we rejoice in the salvation that we have in Christ. But God, my heart does think about those that are still outside of Christ and even the area to which I will speak of. Lord, I pray that you would cause and allow these people to catch the vision and the burden that is upon my heart. And God, that they would pray that you would do a great work in this area. So God, come, help me and strengthen me, empower me to do this in not my own ability, but the ability that God giveth. For I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this presentation, Operation Reach Northeast. And really, Pennsylvania is in the Northeast Corridor. And when you really think about our nation, and I've heard it said many times, from Washington, D.C., all the way up to the state of Maine, if the Northeast does not reach for Christ, what a terrible predicament we will find ourselves in. And my friends, I submit to you that there is no greater need in the United States of America than the Northeast, to see the Northeast reach for Christ, the amount of people that live in this area. And so what I desire to share with you today is more of a burden than a sermon. And I just want to share with you just the burden that God has placed upon my heart for New England. And New England, as you may know, was once a bastion for the light and hope of the gospel. One of the most well-known preachers in early Puritan days here in America was the preacher of Cotton Mather. And he was mightily used of the Lord with the congregational churches in New England. If you've ever been there, you have probably seen the beautiful white congregational churches all over, virtually in every single town. You couldn't incorporate into a township in Massachusetts apart from having a parish church. And so Cotton Mather will later show up in our story about church planting in Maine as well and how the Lord has even used them there. The Lord has greatly used preachers like Jonathan Edwards in Enfield, Connecticut, and Northampton, Massachusetts. I was just recently, a few months ago, up in Northampton, but Jonathan Edwards also preached that wonderful sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And there the church building stood, but instead of the preaching of the gospel, that congregational church now flies its rainbow flags and has all its social justice propaganda stickers on the church in which Edwards preached. But there was a time when God greatly moved in the New England area. And particularly amongst the particular Baptists, the Reformed Baptists of New England, particularly with this man, the Reverend Isaac Case, you probably never heard of him unless I've mentioned his name to you. But the Reverend Isaac Case was a missionary to northern Massachusetts in Vermont. But then there was a preacher by the name of Isaac Backus, who pastored in Middleborough, Massachusetts, a little Baptist church there. And he received a letter from a preacher in Maine, and at the time it still belonged to Massachusetts, and begging for God, begging for men to be sent to Maine. And Isaac Case answered the call. He was ordained as a preacher at large. He went to Maine, and he planted over 300 Reformed Baptist churches all across Maine, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. And he's perhaps, I believe, the greatest church planter that no one knows about in American church history. So there has been a rich history in New England as regards preaching in the gospel. But now New England states are considered the least church states in the Union. Now, if you were to consider which states are the least church, you maybe would think of California. You might think of Oregon and some of the states out west. But New England has the top four ranked states of being the least religious states in the Union. Number four is Massachusetts at 28% religious. Number three is Maine at 27% religious. Number two is New Hampshire at 24% religious. And number one is Vermont at 22% religious. This compares to Mississippi, which identifies itself as being 61% religious. Now, according to a Reformed Baptist network of church planters in New England, they said this regarding New England. They said, New England is the new American missional frontier. Polls show this region to be the least religious, least Bible-minded, most post-Christian in the nation. Roughly only 2-4% of New Englanders attend an evangelical church. Let me just put this in perspective. In New England, there's 17 million people in the New England states. That means if you take 3%, that's 560,000 that attend supposedly an evangelical church. And out of those 560,000, these are just attenders. These aren't even people that are necessarily truly converted. This means there's still virtually 17 million people unreached in the New England states. And with just one church, they go on to say, for every 4,000 to 8,000 people. It's home to many of America's most churchless cities. Along with Mormon, Utah, the Northeast is the most gospel-parched region in the nation. My friends, I beg you, when you are tempted to rail against the liberal New England states, now I know there's things that go on down here too, and you're tempted to rail against the liberal politics and politicians, I encourage you to pray. Pray for these areas instead. Many of the Puritans settled there and established gospel-preaching churches. And as you drive around New England, you will find congregational churches in virtually every town. There once was a thriving gospel emphasis, but now the gospel sounds no longer. The New England landscape is dotted with white steeples, but if you look inside, it reveals pulpits that once held gospel preachers, men like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, and now these pulpits thunder their universalism, their liberalism, and postmodernism. Sanctuaries that echoed hymns now stand eerily silent behind for sale signs. Church buildings have been converted into condos, coffee shops, and dance studios. Institutions that were founded to train men for the gospel, like Harvard and Dartmouth and Yale and Brown and Kobe College, now lead the way into spiritual darkness. These churches have apostatized in the past 100 years. The mainline churches, as you can see on the screen, You have a congregational church. This is in Needham, Massachusetts. And you see this everywhere as you drive around New England, all these churches with their rainbow flags all over their buildings. And they now fly their rainbow flags and preach social justice and deny the inerrancy of Scripture and ordain women and homosexuals to the ministry. And actually, I don't have time to tell you all the stories because I don't want to take too long this afternoon. But I was speaking to a woman in Massachusetts, not far from this area of Needham, that said that she had pastored a church for 30 years, a congregational church. And I asked her about what she shared with the people about how they could go to heaven. And the lady said, well, she said, heaven is something that is here now. And if we're good and we do good and we promote love and justice and X, Y, and Z, she said, we hopefully will get to heaven. She went on to tell me, she said, I even have a lower view of Christology than my own minister, which was a woman. She said, I would never ever call Jesus my Lord and Savior. He's just my teacher. She denied the virgin birth. She denied the inerrancy of Scripture. She denied the blood atonement. She denied the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord. It is a dreaded curse of liberalism that has got into these mainline churches. But it's not only the congregational churches, but the American Baptist churches. Well, there does remain some good men that preach the gospel within this movement, but now they have allowed women ministers within their movement. And even as you see in Franklin, Massachusetts, you have an American Baptist church together with a congregational church promoting the open and accepting agenda. Now, as I have been in seminary, I've prayed about many things, and I've asked the Lord what He would have me to do. I've had 2 years to think about it, 2 years to pray about it, and I've prayed about many things. I've even prayed about going to the south of Ireland. I talked to our minister about it. I even prayed about this little town in Sligo on the coast, about planting churches in that area of the south of Ireland, reaching Roman Catholic people for Christ. I prayed about going to a place like Wittenberg, Germany, where now I can find, from what I could find online, there was no gospel witness where the Reformation began, as it were, with Martin Luther in a town of 40,000 people. I prayed about going to the Netherlands. I mean, not to the Netherlands, but to the Scandinavian countries, to Sweden and Finland and Norway. I prayed about going to a place like Quebec, where is so atheistic and Roman Catholic, and the great need for churches in that area. Prayed about New Brunswick and Nova Scotia and Newfoundland and Prince Edward Island and all these places. But the Lord continually brought before me this text that was upon my heart. And it was the text God used over 10 years ago when we went and we planted a church in northern Maine. It was this text, Romans 15, 20 and 21, that we had read. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they to whom they have not heard shall understand. And so my burden that God originally put on my heart in going to northern Maine is I wanted to go somewhere where there was no witness for Jesus Christ whatsoever. And that is still my desire. And this is the verse just a number of months ago that the Lord impressed upon my heart again, the very same text, a desire to go to where Christ is not named. Now, as you know, in New England, there Christ was once named there, but now the gospel sounds no longer in many of these places. Now, I have prayed about many things, as I've shared with you. I have prayed about vacant churches within our denomination. I have prayed about many places, as I have shared with you. But while there are needs in all these places, it's important to understand that a need never justifies a call. God must give a man a burden for a people. God must birth a ministry within a man. And it is that burden, it is that calling that will keep him there. And God has given me a burden for New England. It is my desire to see that area reached for Christ. Now you may say, John, New England is a graveyard of preachers and is far too gone. I refuse to believe that for a single moment. As I shared with you this morning, the Lord is exalted. He is the King of glory. He is submitting rebels to Him by the power of the gospel, and He can do that in New England still today. So, these verses that I've just shared with you, they reconfirm to me what Lord had already made clear some 10 years ago. So in light of this great need, I think of the words of Jeremiah 8:14, why do we sit still? The question asked by the four lepers in 2 Kings 7:3 convicts me much. Why sit we here until we die? We must accept and we must go forward, expecting God to accomplish mighty things. Like William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. So today, many a church and an individual may need to ask that very same question. Will we sit here until we die? We must get up and do something for Christ. There are so many people dying without Christ in our communities and our surrounding areas. And we have the only message that will bring life to them, the gospel message. So I just want to share with you the need in New England. I take you to the area of Massachusetts. As I shared with you, Massachusetts is ranked number 4 as the least religious state in the Union. And I bring you to Western Massachusetts, to North Adams. North Adams, the city of Adams in Williamsburg, has a population of roughly 27,000 people. And there's only one little independent Baptist church in this area to reach these people for Christ. There's no Reformed witness whatsoever. There's a large city area there, 27 people, one little church, and there is a great need still there. I bring you to the city of Pittsfield. This city is a town we have prayed about and have thought about. The city of Pittsfield in Western Mass on the New York border is a city of 44,000 people. And it only has one little tiny independent Baptist church in their town. The town is riddled with drugs. The entire Berkshire Mountain, Berkshire County area is an area riddled with drugs. Me and Ben Owen had visited this town a number of months ago. And in this little town, surprising to me, we found people lied out on the side of the street, strung up on drugs in this little town of 44,000 people, a broken, depressed area. When we were in North Adams, we spoke to a lady at the local McDonald's while we were eating there. And I expressed to her what we were wanting to do. And this is what she said to me. She said, Mr. Kelly, this area is a depressed area. It's an area that needs the gospel. And there is so little light of the gospel in this area. Not far from this area is the city of Amherst, Massachusetts, where there is several colleges in this area. It is just north of Springfield. And there are 39,000 people that live in this city. And how many churches would you think there are in this city that preach the gospel? There's not 5. There's not 4. There's not even 3. There's not even 2. There's not even 1. This area has no gospel preaching church in its vicinity at all. It is a town that is still without Christ. The same could be said of the Milford, Massachusetts area, Lowell, Massachusetts, 30 minutes from Boston, a city of 115,000 people. There's only one little church in a city of 115,000 that I could find, and one somewhat more contemporary Southern Baptist church. These are the only 2 churches I could find that preach the gospel in any capacity for 115,000 people. There's a great need, my friends, to reach this area for Christ. I want to bring you to Vermont. Vermont is a very needy area. We were just there. We were staying with a pastor friend of mine on the other side of the border from Claremont, New Hampshire, and Windsor, Vermont. And in Vermont, it is a small state. It is a state of only 650,000 people. And so there's probably about that many people in one of these local counties here in Pennsylvania. But the entire state is only 650,000 people. The largest city is Burlington with 44,000 people in their city. But the interesting thing about Vermont, and anyone that would go to Vermont, it is a very interesting place because there is 61% of their population dwells in towns of less than 5,000 people. So it's about 450,000 people. And if I were to take a map and I had you come up here and I had a map of Vermont before me and you were to randomly close your eyes and point anywhere, they would need a church. They are so destitute of the gospel. We are in an area up in Brattleboro, Vermont. We were, Lord willing, we put in a couple applications around that area. So if you would pray with us, I'll share with you at the end of this more things to pray about. But if you would pray that the Lord would allow us to be able to rent a house in that particular area. But Brattleboro is one of the larger cities in Vermont with 12,000 people. You might laugh in light of where you live here. But it's 12,000 people in Brattleboro. And according to the New England Baptist Convention, connected with the Southern Baptist Convention, the president of the New England Baptist Convention said that Brattleboro, he believed, is the most difficult town in the entirety of New England to plant a church. We've driven through Brattleboro, and you go through that town. It is ate up with liberalism. I saw more sodomites there than any place I'd ever been. Rainbow flags everywhere. Black Lives Matter flags everywhere. It is a very liberal town, but it is a very needy town that needs the gospel. And you say, well, certainly the Lord is not interested in places like this. That is just a place that we just need to abandon. My friends, can I remind you about the Ninevites and their utter ungodliness, and how God sent Jonah there, though he be reluctant. He sent Jonah there. He preached, and God brought revival to the Ninevites. And I believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And this would be such a testimony to God's grace to see such an area like this, one to Christ. I would ask you to pray for such an area like this. Up in Stowe, Vermont is a very popular skiing destination. A city of 5,000 people, no church in the surrounding area. Up to Johnson, Vermont, where the University of Northern Vermont is, 3,700 people, no gospel witness for Christ in that area. Or in the Cambridge, Vermont area, you could stand in Johnson, Vermont in a 30-minute radius, drive in either direction, and would not find a single gospel-preaching church of any kind. There's a great need, and there's 30,000 people within that vicinity with no one to tell them about Jesus. So to go to a place like Vermont, it would be going to a small town of 1,500 people, trying to reach those people for Christ. You say, is it worth it? Oh, yes, it's worth it. But we need more laborers to go to places like this. I bring you to Connecticut. And Connecticut has a number of towns that are very needy. The city of Norwich, Connecticut, down near the coast, near Rhode Island. A city of 40,000, not far from the Navy base down on the coast. City of 40,000 without a single gospel witness within the city. 40,000 people. The city of Simsbury, outside of Hartford, Connecticut, going towards the western part of the state, 17,000 people and totally without Christ. New Hampshire is similar to Vermont. Little towns scattered everywhere is without any gospel witness. The city of Keene, New Hampshire, 17,000 people and still without Christ. I bring you to my home state of Maine, the way life should be. And you might not think that way in Pennsylvania, but that is my home state. But the state of Maine has great need. And primarily the great needs all across the state of Maine are the islands that lie off the coast that are virtually unreached. The city of the island of Vinal Haven off the coast of Maine, you can get there by a boat. The city of town of an island of 1,500 people. It's really one town, but they live all over the island. And that island is still unreached for Christ, 1,500 people on the island. Peaks Island is right off the coast of Portland, Maine, Maine's largest city of 60,000 people. And here is one of their churches. You can see their rainbow flags on the back of the building. Not a single gospel preaching church, federated churches, congregational churches, liberal Episcopal church, but no one to reach these 950 people for Christ on Peaks Island. I bring you to a tiny island called Matinicus. Matinicus is a little island that is 20 miles off the coast of Maine, as far as you can try to get from civilization. And there's only 50 people that live on this island. 50 people, it is a lobster village. John Cotton Mather actually saw the need to see a church planted on that island many years ago. They planted a congregational church and they rebelled against the minister there. And they're still in rebellion. If you go to the Matinicus Town website, you can read about their hatred for the things of God and how they want nothing to do with the gospel. But this is an area with a vacant church building that is just waiting for someone to come and win the island to Christ. 50 people. And you say, is it worth it? Absolutely. Every soul is worth it for the gospel. In Ashland, Maine, in northern Maine, it was an hour south of where we had planted a church. Ashland, Maine is a town of 1,700 people, still in great need. No gospel witness in the surrounding area in Ashland, Maine, in Portage, in Masardis, still unreached for the Lord Jesus. The little town of Eagle Lake was a half hour south of where we were, a half hour, 40 minutes. The need of a gospel work in that area. The little town of Patton, Maine, right at the end of the Appalachian Mountains, the surrounding area of 5,000 people, no gospel witness in this community. Down on the coast in Kennebunk, in Kennebunkport, where President Bush had his presidential home, no witness for Christ in this area. And so, my friends, the need is great. And I ask you, will you pray? And will you go? Will God put a burden upon your heart to go to such a place? And if you cannot go, would you pray that God would allow us to see a work planted in this area? So I just have a few things I want you to remember us in prayer. As I shared with you, there's a particular area that we are burdened about. I just shared with you the needs all around New England. But we are particularly burdened about the western Massachusetts area, up into Vermont area. And this past week, we have traveled over 40 hours in the van, going from town to town, bulletin board to bulletin board, looking and trying to find housing. And the Lord has opened up doors for work opportunities. But I ask you to pray that the Lord would supply housing. It's very difficult to find rental housing in that area, and if they have it, it is astronomically expensive compared to what I was used to. So I ask you to pray. We have two applications in, and I would ask you to pray that the Lord would open up one of those doors near the Brattleboro, Vermont area, and if the Lord would see fit, that the Lord would open those doors where we could see a church planted in that area. And so, you say, is there any hope? Can the Lord really do this? Absolutely. And as our pastor said so many times, he said, regardless of how large your vision is too small, a quote from Thomas Chalmers, I really believe that the Northeast can be reached for Christ. I really believe that God is able to, not just because I somehow just believe it within myself, the Bible says in Romans 15, that there will be those that have not heard that will understand. There are those that have not seen that they will see. I have this promise in God's word that there will be people that will believe and be saved. As the missionary John Keith Falconer said, he said this, I only have one candle of light to burn. And he said, I'd rather burn it out in a land flooded with darkness than a land flooded with light. My friends, this area is a dark area. And we need to see it reach for Christ. And might we burn our light so brightly that they might see the light of Christ within us. So I just close with this one little hymn. It was a hymn that was written by the Reverend William Sleeper, who pastored a little congregational church in Sherman, Maine, and also Massachusetts. And one of his hymns is actually in our hymn book, You Must Be Born Again. And he wrote this other hymn, and the lines say this. He said, the waiting field is large and white, and doth the sickle's keen invite. Ye many drooping plants I see, my Father's work is pressing me. My Father's work is pressing me, and I must do it faithfully. The reapers in the field are few, and I to Jesus must be true. The reapers in the field are few, with willing hearts and brave and true. Help must be summoned speedily, my Father's work is pressing me. The sickles are rough and dull with rust, like careless trodden in the dust. Sharpened and furbished must they be, my Father's work is pressing me. Let not the ripened grain be lost before the winter's sleet and frost. I must be garnered faithfully, my Father's work is pressing me. Friends, would you pray for us and ask that the Lord would open up doors that only He can open and shut doors that only He can shut. And we trust by God's grace. We are hoping that in the next month or two that we'll be able to see, be in that area. And we plan, I have already spoken with our elders, and the plan is that once we can get to this area, that we would live there for 6 months and we would pass out invitations and things of that nature. And after 6 months, we would plan to launch the church. We've already developed a website. We've already developed a social media page. And we hope that once we can get feet on the ground, we can begin going door to door, meeting people, inviting them, hoping to create Bible studies and create a core group before we begin the congregation. But even if there is no one, we will go ahead and begin believing by faith that God will save sinners. So I ask you to pray for this effort. It will not be a church that will be planted overnight. I understand that. Going to New England, it took us 7 years before we finally saw 30 people in our congregation. It is a long, grueling work. And no church grows overnight. So I ask you, as you pray, be patient and pray that God would graciously save sinners and that He would build a church in New England. Amen. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity just to share these things to the congregation. And God, I do pray that you would open up doors and shut doors in accordance to your will. And God, I would ask that you would just bless the remainder of our time together. Thank you for these good people and their attention. And God, I just ask that you would be merciful to the New England area. And that God, you would send many men to reach this area for Christ. God, all along this Northeast corridor, we have such a great need. Even here in Pennsylvania, Lord, you know the need. And in Jersey and so many different places, the need is great, but the laborers are few. We ask you that you'd raise up many more and launch them out. We pray for our seminary. Lord, raise up more men. God, there are so many needs. God, raise up a mighty army of preachers to be sent forth into the highways and hedges to compel men to come into your house and it might be filled. God, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.